Welcome back to Whiskey Congress. Steve, it feels like forever since we've been in studio talking together. We've been traveling. Yep. I've been traveling. We've had guests on. It hasn't been just you and me in studio in a while, so it's good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too. Back to our normal traditional format, so bear with us.
And we're drinking Cleveland Whiskey Underground Black Cherry Wood, and this stuff is fucking great.
Very good. Very good. Love. I mean, obviously, we love Cleveland Whiskey. We have been to their distillery. We have interviewed the CEO, Tom Licks, and we have done a number of taste tests.
Yes. This is my favorite, though, I think.
Yeah, I think for me it's pretty close. It's pretty close.
They've got the hickory is really good,
yeah,
too.
The hickory is a pretty – that's a standout for me, but this black cherry is really good. So cheers.
Cheers. So – last time we spoke about the death of Justine Damon, and I mean her last name. Her maiden name is different than the name she was taking.
Yeah, Rushchak,
Australian woman in Minneapolis. She calls 911 because she's reporting a potential sexual assault in the alley behind her home. Shot to death by a police officer in Minneapolis. And we've had a few things develop since then.
Right. So when we talked about this last week, you know, we both wanted to err on the side of caution. There was information we hadn't heard. There was no video.
We recorded the night that it broke.
Right. So, the night that it broke. It happened on a Saturday. I think we talked about it on Wednesday or Tuesday.
Tuesday.
You know, there was no body cam footage. There was no dash cam footage. And so now all we're going off of is the word of the officer. And the officers, in his words to his friends, which was then reported, there was a loud bang. It startled him. He shot her.
And I think that's a perfectly good defense if you're a Labrador Retriever.
Right.
I mean, that's crazy to me. I heard a loud noise, so I fired a gun from the passenger seat across the driver's seat, right. Which when you told me that last week, I didn't know. And I was like, holy shit, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And you heard a loud noise, so you opened fire.
I mean, it's so if that's his story, right, that he's going to stick to, it's becoming. I mean, there's. I don't know what the defense is. There is no defense of that, right?
I don't get it.
There can't be, and I know that I'm not going to say that I know, but I can't believe that over the course or during the course of or what's accepted in modern police training, that you know, you hear a loud noise, pull out your gun when you're in the patrol car and shoot through the driver's side window if you're a passenger to protect the
partner. Especially if you see a woman in pajamas.
I just don't understand.
I don't even know why that's relevant, but it's not even like.
Well, I mean, and it seems like from you know witness and you know witnesses can be not the most reliable.
Sure.
But it seemed like she had at least spoken to the police officers. It seems like the police officer's window was down. So and there was some sort of an exchange. So I can't believe that how do you go from, you know, hey, I think somebody's getting, you know, raped in an apartment in this alley to bang a loud noise to bang, I'm gonna shoot you. It makes no sense to me.
I agree. And because this guy is a Somali immigrant and a Muslim, this brings into the whole race, religion, xenophobia issue, where will the police force defend him the same way they've defended other officers? Which, to me, Steve, I can't think of a. This is the most ultimate no-win situation, because if they defend this guy to the teeth, I'm still annoyed that, the thin blue line is the overriding factor. But if they leave this guy out to dangle, it's like, okay, because this guy isn't, the officer that shot Philando Castile was also not white. But because this guy is an immigrant, is a Somali, is a Muslim, if they say, okay, we're willing to toss you to the wolves, that makes me sick on a whole different level. So there's no win for me in
well,
this.
Well, I mean,
there's no win in my mind.
Well, you know, it's hard to look at this situation as whether it's going to be a, it's hard to look at it.
You understand what
I do understand. I completely understand what you're saying, and you're right. But I think it's even deeper than that, because first and foremost, you have the loss of a life.
Right.
Right. We still don't know what was going on in the alley that she was reporting about, that she was calling in about, right? Was someone being raped, or was it
if the crime was not caught because of this?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, like, so what if she was actually, like, so, you know, the story is she heard someone having sex. From her window, she goes to investigate. She can't figure out if it's just, you know, an aggressive, normal, consenting adult, or if there's actually something she thought that she heard someone cry for help. So if what if something really bad was going on in that apartment and we never get around to it because there was a loud bang and this police officer has no resolve, no control, completely bails on all his training, pulls out his gun and shoots this woman dead. My thing that I want to kind of stay away from the talking points. The fact that the police officer was Muslim, the fact that she was white, you know, she was white, well-to-do, Australian, you know, the complete
right.
polar opposite of an actual, you know, like not our typical, you know, died by the hands of a police officer victim, right? And let's just focus on what the police did here. And what the police did here was wrong. This particular officer, what he did was wrong. What needs to happen, right? Take away the fact that he's Somali and Muslim and everything else. What needs to happen is if these are the facts, he heard a loud noise, it scared him, he shot her and killed her, he needs to be prosecuted. He needs to be charged. He needs to be prosecuted. He needs to go to jail.
And so in addition to that, so they fired the chief of police of Minneapolis has resigned under pressure, which I've got two thoughts
pressure
about.
Pressure from the mayor, by the way.
Pressure from the mayor, okay. And so you could argue that, well, that's an impotent measure. And I will be the first to agree it's not enough, but I'll also say that given the recent history of the Minneapolis Police Department, you got to go. It's a politician's cop-out to say, look, we solved the problem, we fired the chief of police, or forced him to resign. But just because that's not enough doesn't mean that shouldn't happen, right? He's got to go. I don't know anything about the guy other than if you're at the top of that organization.
I think the police chief was a woman.
Okay, or she. Okay, you know what? You know what? I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, not that it matters. But, right. But, I mean, I'm just saying, want to make sure that we're being
accurate. No, thank you. Because so, I think you're correct.
I think you're. So that move of firing the police chief, I think it. I don't like the timing of it, right? I don't like the timing of it. I think it needs to happen. But I don't think it needs to happen. I think.
Are you saying that because you don't think that making a public spectacle of doing it is anything more than a political move? Because that's kind of how I see it.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
I think the timing of it looks very, oh, I'm going to do this. Like how do we get people to shut up? You know how we'll get them to shut up? We're going to fire the police chief. Screw her. I don't like her anyway. She's expendable. Get rid of her. And that shows that we're doing something. Yes, and it shows that
right.
we care.
And I still think it has to happen, but it's not enough.
Right. I mean,
that's addressing the symptom, not the cause.
Well, and the reason why it has to happen is that your police officers aren't trained well. And
right.
you're the head of the police force. So,
and you want to send the message to other police forces, like, if you are a chief of police.
Not even other police forces.
Or your police force. Yeah,
your
okay.
police force. I need a police chief who can get people in here, who can get them trained so that they don't kill people in the fucking streets, right? We need someone in here who's not going to kill innocent citizens in the street because they hear a loud noise and they shit themselves.
And you need to know, as a chief of police, if you're not pounding that gavel every day, then you're not doing your job.
Exactly. And listen, we have to say this disclaimer every time we talk about a police shooting. Being critical of police doing a shitty job is not being critical of the police as a whole, right? You can look at a particular officer in a particular situation or a particular city and say, they're doing a shit job. They need to do better. The expectations are higher. We need to hold them to a higher standard. They do have a difficult job. Mike Wood will argue with you that maybe they don't. But
No, it's difficult. He just right. said it's not as dangerous as we
they
make it
They have a difficult job. There are risks. On a consistent basis, they probably face they face danger on a relatively consistent basis.
Right. They face scary situations. Right, I think it's well said.
Like, I mean, you walk in a situation, you have no idea what is going to happen. Right. Anytime you're going to a house for, or you're going into a house or a building,
walking into a car,
you have no idea what the person on the other side of that car door, window, whatever, is thinking, and you don't know what could happen. So anything can happen. That being said, you can acknowledge that the job is tough. You can acknowledge that they have difficult, risky, scary, dangerous situations, whatever you want to call it. You can acknowledge that it is brave what they do. You can acknowledge that we have to have them. They're a necessary part of a civil society. But when they screw up, they need to be able to be held accountable for it and not just have it swept under the rug.
Right. And I think if that were the case, I think the whole dynamic changes, right? Because yes, part of the reason that people are defensive around the police is the fact that they believe you could literally walk up and incarcerate me or shoot me and get away with it. And as a 40-something white guy, I'm not nearly as scared because that's not how I've been subjected to society. But even, I mean, I get nervous when I deal with the cops, and I'm not in that, I'm not in a demographic that is prone to
right
being, you know, taken advantage of. And again, if it's 5%.
Are you sure? I mean, you know, Mexicans, it's been pretty tough. Mexicans have a rough time, bro. I mean,
this only helps if you're watching the video, not only can they incarcerate you,
but they can deport you.
You are such a jackass.
No, but listen,
I look kind of Mexican to those who have never seen a picture of me.
You just spent all day working in a garden in a field, so
in my own backyard. But yes, wow, you know what? All right, I'm gonna let you out of this.
I'm gonna move. Listen, I think here's an issue, or the issue. Will they hold this officer accountable for what he did? And I think they're going to. And the issue is, all right, finally they get someone held accountable. But when you look at who that particular officer is, you are not. It's going to be hard not to ask the question that you brought up.
Why was this guy expendable? Yeah,
you know, like, is this guy expendable because he's a Somali immigrant? Right. Like that's going to be the big question. Now, for me, that doesn't matter. It really, for me, this guy has to go to jail, right?
As much as any, yeah. I mean, right. I mean, like shot Flair, I mean, Castillo. There's so, and
I mean,
and,
we don't have the we. And, so we don't and, have and, a. Right. We don't have. Let a me video. Say this.
Here's what absolutely must happen. He must be thrown out of the police force immediately. Like, okay, right. you can't carry a badge and a gun. I mean, if it has to be a temporary suspension until stuff gets investigated, fine. You can't do this job anymore. You can't guard the 25-cent rocking horse in front of Kmart anymore.
You cannot have a Tamir Rice situation where the police officer had horrible test scores,
had been kicked out of the police force,
overreacts in the Tamir Rice situation, kills that kid, and then sits on administrative desk duty or whatever
for a year and a half, two years, whatever it was. Yeah.
2 years. And, right. And then they finally say, all right, well, we're going to fire him, but we're going to fire him because he lied on his application. Right.
Because of an application, you know, not because not he shot a kid. Not even
because he was a bad cop. And then the police union comes back and says, we're going to get him his job back.
Yep.
Right? Like, yeah, that can't happen here.
That can't have happened when it did happen.
It shouldn't have happened when it happened. That was, I think, just as egregious. You had a child. Oh, well, he didn't look like a child.
He had a fake gun. I mean, this is worse for a bunch of reasons.
Think about this. Since Tamir Rice, how many times have you looked in the newspaper and said, teen arrested for riding a skateboard with a fake gun, waving a fake gun around that looked realistic? I can say over the last year, I've seen at least 5 instances of kids, black or white, being arrested with very realistic fake guns in different places in Ohio, and none of them have even escalated to the point where the police actually drew their own weapons.
I haven't seen those because they don't get as much press coverage because
they don't. I mean, but they're in the news. Look it up.
I understand, listeners, everyone, just look it up.
Look over the last 2 years. Look at what's happened. His initial overreaction is what now gives us the precedent for, you know, the police to not overreact now. Like, it makes no sense. You know, like if you're gonna say the cops that are arresting kids with fake airsoft guns now are doing the right thing, then you can't sit there and tell me that the police officers who shot Tamir Rice were doing the right thing, right?
I've never said that I did the right thing.
No. I'm just trying to make sense of it in my head.
Right.
But we're getting a little off track. But all of that to say, what happened in Minnesota, all right, her race notwithstanding, the victim.
The officer's race notwithstanding.
He wasn't evidenced by, if what we're hearing is true, that there was a loud noise, he got nervous, pulled his gun, shot through the driver's side window from the passenger side, then he wasn't fit to do that job. He can't have that job, and there's got to be a price to pay beyond just getting fired from that job.
I agree. And I hope, I mean, this to me is, again, just like we talked about with Philando Castile, one of those things where he should not be charged with murder. There's no pre-whatever, but he recklessly killed a human being, and there has to be a penalty for that.
There has to be.
And
the excuse can't be, well,
he was scared. He feared for his life.
He's scared,
okay,
and his job is hard.
Because he heard a loud noise. I mean,
I mean, and the standard, and, you know, Mike Wood talked about this, the standard is incredibly low. You know, reasonable officer, what would you think in that sort of situation? The bar's been lowered. But I think for the safety of the citizens, right? Like, and that's where some of the periphery conversation about race and all that stuff starts to come in. Because now, if it's a large black guy with dreads, all you can make a million excuses whenever it's a large black guy, right? Like, everybody's scared of large black men. But, you know, when you have the pedestal, you know, jewel of, you know, the apple of the
not
eye
scary.
Of society, right? The white female, the white
in
woman.
A white blonde woman in pajamas.
In her pajamas trying to be a crime stopper, and she ends up dead in an alley. Now something has to happen, right? Now I can't as a black citizen sit here and say, you know what, screw her. If I don't get justice, she shouldn't get justice. I have
that,
to look
right,
at this.
Right, that's the wrong.
Right, like, don't be a petty bitch about it. Like, you use the situation to say, okay, now this is how we're going to get change, right? Wish it would have came with, you know, Philando Castile.
Laquan McDonald.
Like, I wish it would have came with all these people.
Walter Scott.
Okay,
I mean, if we get the name,
fine,
whatever.
Fine,
yep,
fine.
Yep, yep.
But we can't get it with them, right? We didn't have the perfect victim. Now you have the perfect victim. Go fucking fix your police force.
Yes. And so you brought to my attention shortly ago, and I didn't fully read the article, but the NRA finally has chimed in. The NRA has chimed in and said, we support the police. Good for you.
Not only did they... Oh, my God. It's so ridiculous, right? The NRA is a joke.
Yes. And there's going to be a Jim rant on the NRA on our YouTube channel in the next couple days, so please check that out.
The NRA Foundation, Cars for Freedom, backs our blue. Now you can too. It's time America honored its police again. Our country's law enforcement officers represent the best of American courage. Yet today, a deceitful media has put their courage under fire. Stand with the NRA Foundation and back our blue by donating your vehicles to the NRA Cars for Freedom. Donate now. We'll pick them up for free. Listen, that on its face, save for the comment about the deceitful media, that on its face, you see that, you say, you know what? Nothing wrong with that, right? But when you start to think about the different narratives and what the NRA allegedly stands for, and you start to tie in politics and money and lobbying and what they're really focused on, then you realize the NRA is a joke. The NRA is, like, because, and where this comes in, and it does nothing for Justine Damon or Ruschuk, you know, NRA, there's not much that they would be able to even say about her situation, because she didn't have a gun or a CCW that we know of, and that never came up.
It didn't come into play in the
right,
situation,
right. It didn't come
right.
into play in this situation, so the NRA wouldn't say anything about that. But in Minnesota, Philando Castile, he did everything that you're supposed to do as a card-carrying CCW person. And he still ended up losing his life. So the thought process would be that the NRA would chime in and say, hey, we're defending Second Amendment rights. We believe that everyone has the right to bear arms. He followed the rules that have been set forth. And because he followed the rules, that's essentially why he lost his life. Because he told you that he has a CCW and that he has a weapon, you lost your shit and you killed him. And that's what the NRA should be saying, right? You lost your shit,
right.
You killed him, you are wrong, right? We support this guy and his family, and other Second Amendment right, you know, others that are taking advantage of their Second Amendment right, and that's what the NRA should have come out and said. They didn't. What they did was they did the exact opposite. They said nothing, and now we have this Back Our Blue, donate cars to us so we can raise money to support the police, because the NRA and the police unions now seem to be obviously in bed with the GOP in terms of funding and lobbying and everything else. So this isn't about your Second Amendment rights. The NRA could
it's give, about money and
the NRA could give two fucks about Second Amendment rights. They're all about filling the coffers.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you've heard me rant enough. It's kind of fun to watch you do the rant this time and not have to do it myself, so thank you.
Well, you notice how I was able to do that without calling anybody names.
Oh, good for you. You're so mature and responsible. And you know who's not good about not calling names and not good about yelling and ranting? My boy, Sean Spicer, who resigned.
Oh, my God.
I'm Jim. Sad. Jim. I'm, first of all, we got the Deadpool right.
We nailed the Deadpool.
Okay. On the old podcast, we both called Spicer would be the first to go.
And I didn't know if it was going to be because he had a stroke or a heart attack or because the pressure got to him or whatever. But either way, we thought it was going to be Sean Spicer. And sure enough,
Spicy gone.
He gone. Sean Spicer, go ahead. I went ahead and submitted his resignation, which the president accepted. Apparently, there was some... He was upset about the appointment of Anthony Scaramucci as the new
director of communications.
And so Spicer says, "All right, if you're going to hire that guy, then I'm out." He leaves. Sarah Huckabee Sanders gets promoted to press secretary, which I think everyone assumed that's what was going to happen because she was doing a majority of the reporting from the White House anyway. There's not a ton to say about it.
There is, though.
Well,
for like poor Melissa McCarthy, for one thing.
Well, this is my thing about that. I think that, you know, Sean Spicer is going to try to spin his experience for some sort of book deal, movie deal.
Oh, of course. All that stuff, right? Of course, yes.
And I think he's still going to be in the media. And I think that Melissa McCarthy will still have some room to operate for a little bit. While he tries to spin this stuff and he does the car wash on different news cycles.
So we need to reopen the Deadpool. Who's next?
Rance Priebus.
Oh, Rance Priebus.
What I can tell you is that bringing in Scaramucci pretty much neuters Rance Priebus. And what I will tell you is that Scaramucci, before it's all said and done, will be the...
So he's a Breitbart guy, right? I don't know a ton about him. I was traveling when that happened, so I listened to him smooth talk.
Yeah, listen, the one good thing for Breitbart is doing that's smart is they're going in and finding people who agree with any number of their views and then saying, hey, write for us, right? Like, you're never going to be able to write for the Washington Post or the New York Times or... they're not going to want to hear your perspective. We give you carte blanche to write about whatever you want or come on our shows at any point in time. We have a large audience. I do know that the Breitbart audience has dwindled. Not dwindled, but they've gotten smaller a little bit.
Yeah, that's dwindled. So you're fine.
But not by much. And it won't take much to get them to get people back.
I think.
But the whole point, and it's off track, but Scaramucci is a guy who is very close to Trump. And before it's all said and done, he's going to be, you know, the president's chief of staff.
Oh, okay.
Right. I think that
Priebus is neutered for two reasons. One, who's going to be in the president's ear, and then who will actually have the job.
From what I hear coming out of Washington, Scaramucci has like West Wing, walk right in. You need to say something. You need to talk to the president. Then feel free. You don't have to ask permission. Just knock twice before you walk in the door, sort of deal. And Reince Priebus has to basically make an appointment and hope that it gets accepted. So I think that, you know, we're on a countdown for Reince. And what a weird name, by the way,
Reince. It is a weird name.
But we're on a countdown for him. He will be out. I think whether it's – I don't know if he's going to – you know, I'm not leaving. You're gonna have to fire me, or if he's too
just,
proud,
exactly.
And say,
just
screw it,
duck
I'm
in the corner, and
right? I mean, you know, maybe he'll just hang in there to collect a paycheck for a while. I'm not sure, but I think Reince Priebus is next. Who do you think is next?
I'm not gonna say who I think because I need to give it some thought. I will say who I hope is next. I hope Jeff Sessions is next. If you've listened to us at all, you know, not a fan of Mr. Sessions. And he got a real kick in the dick this week from the president when Trump basically said, had I known he was going to recuse himself from the Russia investigation, I would have chosen someone else. And I was really hoping to see that. So I got that push notification, and I was really hoping to see, followed by President or Attorney General Sessions resigns in protest or something of that nature. And it sounds like that is far from his...
No, that's not going to happen. And I wrote about this on our website at whiskeycongress.com. And it was never going to happen because Jeff Sessions has an agenda. Jeff Sessions doesn't have a true loyalty to Donald Trump. Jeff Sessions saw an opportunity to get... Like, he plays the... good old Southern boy. I'm just so humbled to be here in this situation where I'm the Attorney General of the United States. Who knew a boy like me could end up in a place like this? Everyone, fuck out of here. Come on. Like, he saw the direction Trump was going early on, and Sessions jumped on that bandwagon. He was immediately saying, yep, sure, yep, you... He knew damn well that Trump was a fucking maniac, and I don't think Sessions agrees with a lot of what Trump is saying. I think Sessions believes that Trump is probably a fucking idiot, right? But he also saw an opportunity to get exactly where he is. So Trump comes out and says, well, I don't support him. I don't have his back. I wouldn't hire him. Sessions says, whatever, I'm here. I'm going to continue to push my agenda, and the only way for you to get me out is to fire me.
So the president can do that, right? The president can tell the attorney general, you are dismissed for cause.
Yep.
Bye-bye. But
he needs a reason.
All
of a sudden, president needs a reason to fire Jeff Sessions. And just after all this, Trump gives him a vote of unconfidence.
Right.
Jeff Sessions says, I'm not going to resign. You have to fire me. And then a story leaks out. Jeff Sessions talked to Russians about the Trump campaign and about collusion.
Which is why he recused himself. I hate to give credit to Jeff Sessions because I don't like him, but the choice to recuse himself was, as far as I know, and again, you're a lawyer, I'm not, but that's law 101, isn't it? Like, this is something you cannot...
Nah, bro, that ain't law. I mean, that's... Okay, that's way above law 101. I mean, that's...
Okay, what I'm trying to say is that it makes sense from a legal standpoint. This is when you recuse yourself, when you cannot be objective.
When you can't be objective, right? I mean, and that's you're right. That's a basic tenet is objectivity, and he knew he couldn't be objective, so he stepped away, which is why I believe, in my opinion, that the Trump administration, someone from Trump's team, that's who is leaking this information about Jeff Sessions and his conversations with the Russians about the Trump administration and the Trump campaign. They're not good at playing this political game. They're not good at politics. They, like, it's like, just go watch House of Cards. Dear God. Like, you can just, if you just go do the stuff you see on a Netflix series, you would be doing better than what the fuck you're doing right now.
If instead of watching MSNBC and calling out Joe Scarborough, if you watched Kevin Spacey and took his lead, you'd be so much better off.
If you just do what Kevin Spacey does on that show, if you literally mimic, short of
pushing women in front of a train, preferably.
Don't kill anybody.
Preferably.
But listen, even do it. Do it the way he did it, and apparently you won't get caught.
He killed a really hot girl and ruined a barbecue joint. So, other than that,
I had my issues with that part of the show too, because that just
the racial side of it, or the
that just reeked of
it did all kinds of stuff.
And it was intentional, and then
of course, it's a brilliantly written show. Okay, back on track. If we're gonna go TV shows, we gotta talk Game of Thrones. But I love that show so much. All right. So anyway, Jeff Sessions is not gonna resign willingly, and I want that son of a bitch to be gone. Because, all right, so if Steve Bannon and Jeff Sessions are out of the government, I'm feeling a whole lot better about things. I think Jeff Sessions' agenda is that of Foghorn Leghorn mixed with, just Foghorn Leghorn.
I mean, I wrote about this on our website. I believe that Jeff Sessions' agenda is bring back the drug war. He wants to
ramp up the drug war, not bring it back.
Right. Bring it back and bring it back at full speed, full bore. Attack the inner cities, attack minorities, do whatever you have to do to get them off the streets and get them in jail. I think he obviously wants to expand private prisons. He wants more private prisons. Once we get more private prisons, he wants to fill them up, and he wants to fill them up with people who look like me. I also believe that he is not good for the LGBTQ community. I feel that with him as the Attorney General, their rights are definitely in danger. They're in danger, and I think his agenda is let's get things back to where they were in the late 80s and the mid 90s. You know, let's go back to the Reagan era, the Bush 1 era. Let's go back to the Clinton. I mean, because even Clinton and the drug war and everything else.
Right.
Bill gets no pass there. Hillary and super predators and everything. That's what Jeff Sessions wants. He wants his prosecutors to be able to look at a guy with a small thing of crack and give that person a 15, 20-year sentence.
And I know I've said this, or we've talked about this on previous shows, but I'm going to say it again. Jeff Sessions once joked, I used to think the KKK was fine until I learned they smoked marijuana. And when confronted with that line, he said, well, it was a joke. I totally accept it was a joke, but it's a joke that exposes your mentality towards racism and marijuana, and I'm not comfortable with either of them.
Well, Jim, so, I mean, how could you call Jeff Sessions a racist? He has a partially Asian grandchild that he held at a press conference.
You're right. Take it back. I'm wrong.
He's not
a racist. That's good enough.
But listen, in terms of the death pool, I think that, in my opinion, it's Reince Priebus.
I should enter somebody on general principle. I should have to put a name in the hat, which I can change. As much as I would love it to be Jeff Sessions.
You own it.
Exactly. Is Don Jr. a potential? I
think he's just running his dad's business. That's what makes him weird. And the fact that, what did he even have to do with the Trump campaign administration? What's his role?
We made the Fredo comment last week, as many others have as well.
I didn't necessarily like that because I don't think it's necessarily a good fit. But
I understand. All right, let me throw my entry in there.
Deadpool.
Maximum effort. All right.
Do you like that in the text?
I did. Thank you. Whenever I'm like in one of those moments right now, I'm like, all right, focus, maximum effort. And I picture myself jumping into the fray. Who's going to go next?
You picture yourself as Deadpool?
No, I'm not that limber. I love that character, and I love the movie. All right. I am going to go with...
Come on, spit it out. We don't have I know. Got a lot of shit to talk about.
We do.
Fuck. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, there's that. All right. So if I have to put an entry in, Kellyanne Conway makes sense because she's become almost irrelevant. And she did
Do you think it'll be because she feels like she's not getting enough attention, or and so you think she'll resign?
Yeah.
Or
no, I think she'll I think she'll resign. I think she'll be the left out stepchild, and I think it'll be a quiet resignation. I think it'll just be she drifts off into the sunset as the Stepford freak show she is.
She'll try to make it quiet, but I don't think that the CNNs or New York Times or Huffington Post will allow it to
be
quiet.
Well, they shouldn't because she has not been quiet, so fuck it.
And she, I mean, she...
Kellyanne, my girl.
Have you seen the South Parks where they're...
I have no. Okay. Oh, boy. I bet it's good.
Well, their version of Kellyanne Conway is essentially Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's awesome.
It's hilarious.
It's typical South Park. Yeah, it's horrible. It's right. Awesome. thank you.
Like, you just feel guilty the whole time laughing at it. Anyway, so...
All right, so Deadpool aside...
Kellyanne Conway is your choice.
My choice for now. I may revise it. I've got a week to revise it until the next show.
No, just own it.
All right.
It is what it is. Come on, it's a Deadpool.
All right.
You know, we can't check in on the cancer patient and see how they're doing and say, oh, no, never mind. I take you back. No.
Okay.
Like, you got to ride with
me. All right. I'm on the Kellyanne.
And Kellyanne was just out talking about, you know, Robert Mueller and his investigation of Trump and how it's not fair and how it's a witch hunt and everything else. It's remarkable, but Donald Trump is trying to figure out a way to fire Robert Mueller.
He's trying to find a way to get out of this mess, whether it's firing Robert Mueller or, I mean, I think he knows the optics of that are terrible, whether he gets it or he's being told it. I don't know. Actually, I think I do. I think he's being told that, no, you can't just say you're fired and this guy goes away. You do that and you end up in the same category as a guy named Richard Nixon. And if you don't know your history, that didn't go great.
Well, you've already fired your FBI director.
Right.
And if you fire the guy that's who's been put in charge to figure out exactly what's going on here, you are definitely walking a very thin line, a very dangerous line of getting yourself impeached. And firing Robert Mueller at this point, Robert Mueller's, you know, and his team are saying, look, we're going to investigate Trump's finances. We're going to look at everything.
We're going to look at the next level. Right. And by the way, can I take us back to the last time there was a special prosecutor of this nature, Kenneth Starr? He went from a financial dealing under Bill Clinton to a blowjob in Arkansas to a blowjob in the White House. Yeah. Now, I'm not defending Bill Clinton other than I defend blowjobs.
The investigation can go anywhere, right? I mean, like, and I guess that's a different conversation of how
I'm
these
just saying
investigations
can
go.
They're not limited to what you initially got told to ask. Right. If you open a door and you find something
there
else.
There is no limited scope in these investigations, and that's the thing. Now, some will argue that's what got Kenneth Starr in trouble. Right, he was so set on getting Bill Clinton and the Clintons for something that it took him down this road of blowjobs in the White House and the whole thing. I mean, because he essentially eviscerated Monica Lewinsky to try to get Bill Clinton, and he never ended up getting Bill Clinton.
Right.
You know,
he got him censured. He got him.
But Bill Clinton served as president for two terms and is still revered.
Yes.
Okay. Kenneth Starr didn't win that, right? I mean, like, under no circumstances can you look at me and tell me that he got a few little victories.
And it took him a stained dress to get that far. I mean, that's how far he took things.
Monica,
so
why do you?
Her mom did it. That's kind of gross.
I get it. Right. Like, I mean, it's like.
Anyway.
But
all right.
How did you end up with your mom? Like,
hey mom, I blew the president.
Guess what I did today? Oh, really? Any remnants left over anywhere? Yeah,
hang on
my dress.
Hang on to that.
Hold on to it. Hold on. Let me. I'll put it next to my wedding dress. Like,
all right. I'm about to go down a road that will make me regret what I was gonna say. So, let me try to steer us back on track and say Trump really can't fire Robert Mueller. He just can't without trouble.
Right. I really wanted to talk about that Stain Dress more.
Okay. Oh, well, you can. I need to stop because I was about to say stuff that I would
regret. I like it when you say stuff.
I know you do. Well, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But
well, sometimes I like it when you say it because the shit off the top of your head is funny. Your actual form jokes are just awful.
Fuck you. You're such a dick.
I am. I'm sorry.
No, you're not sorry. That was an insincere apology. I was just going to point out that if Monica insincere. Lewinsky swallowed, we wouldn't have this problem. That's yes! what I was going to say.
But okay. That's a fact, though.
That is a fact.
That is a fact. And you have to wonder if she's sitting there thinking, like, I could have avoided all of this.
You know what I mean? See, all right. We went down there. You son of a bitch. You got me to do it.
Suck it up.
Wrong choice of words, or is it? All righty then. So Robert Mueller is now expanding his investigation into Trump business dealings, and that could get ugly. And see, one thing that's funny to me about this whole ordeal.
Well, it's going to get ugly because we already know that Trump has business dealings with Russia. Not necessarily in Russia, but with
Russians.
Russia.
Yes, yes.
So it's going to get curious. I don't know. Listen, I have no idea what his financials look like. None of us do.
Because he didn't disclose them, which was amazing that he got away with not disclosing, but okay.
Now, that could be a double-edged sword. It could literally, because I know a few very wealthy people who have some financial dealings that are legal, but they just don't want people to know about. I know wealthy people who pay a lot of money to make sure that no one knows about what their financials are.
Whether it's politically based or not, right?
Right.
I know they're not a great person, but
they go out of their way to make sure that no one knows how. Like it, for some people, they want you to know how rich they are, right?
Right.
They will tell you. They will flaunt it. They will sit there and flash you their bank account numbers so you know. Other people, right, that have a certain level of paranoia. Will go to great lengths for you not to know about their financial situations. Not necessarily because it's illegal. They just don't want you in their shit. And I don't know who Trump is, right? Because Trump loves to tell us how rich he is, right? He loves to flaunt it. He loves to show it. But then you start to dig into it, and he clams up. I think his biggest thing is he's not worth nearly as much as he says he is.
I 100% agree with you.
And the concern is this is more about his ego and him being exposed for not being nearly as wealthy as he projects, right? And then, but at the end of the day, it doesn't show that he did anything wrong, illegal, anything else. It just shows.
Those are not mutually exclusive, though, right? He could be into a bunch of shady shit and not be as rich as he claims.
He could be into a bunch of shady shit to help some, which. And the reason why he's in the shady shit is because he's not as rich as he says he is, right? Like, he needed help from Russia and whoever to support the fact that he was going broke or something like that. I don't know.
Or going broke, but I want to build a $500 million project in downtown.
Vladimir Putin comes in and says, I'll help you out. Whatever.
Boris von Vladikov, who happens to be Vladimir Putin's, third in his foursome in golf in the in the Moscow Open.
But I guarantee in the Moscow Open
he wins.
I think it can go any number of directions, and I don't have a good beat on what they're going to find there. It could be nothing, right? It could just be that Trump isn't worth $10 billion. He's worth less than
$500 million. Which, by the way, boohoo for you.
Listen, I'll take half of that $500 million. Right.
And smile.
Right. I'll take half of that $500 million and you will never fucking hear from me again. What you just said is
something I can chime in on also, in that I know I have in my career come across a few really, really wealthy people. And it is amazing how insecure and jealous they are. I worked for a guy who
I don't want to do this.
What was that?
I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable.
Talking about rich people?
Calling them out.
You're afraid you're whacked? I don't know who I know. I worked for a guy who had a 6-seat jet, would fly to Vail, and
so apparently he doesn't listen to our show.
No, fuck no. Honestly, I don't know for sure he's still alive. I worked for him 15 years ago. But the mentality was amazing because he was fabulously wealthy and a raving lunatic. He actually loved me. But he would go to Vail on his private jet.
Raving lunatic and loved you is not mutually exclusive.
That is also not mutually exclusive. In fact, might be proof of... Okay, we're playing that way, are we? All right. you son of a bitch. Anyway, he would go to Vail and go to Reno on business trips. He bought pharmacies in those two cities so he could fly there and gamble and ski and call it business. And he would just get so bitter because he would fly in the 6-seat jet and the guys he was hobnobbing with were on 737s. And he was like, literally, like,
he flew in on a G5. Right. They came in on a G6, and he was pissed. You motherfucker.
Right. And he would, that mentality was amazing to me at the time. And it's still amazing to me today that those folks have a lifestyle that 99.99% of the world would envy and kill for. And he's there and he's bitter. And I think that mentality infects society in a way that leads us to what you just described, or we just talked about with Trump. Like, he's only got $500 million and he's desperate to make sure the world doesn't know that that's all he has.
Right. I do think that there may be some other implications to that, because I think he is...
may have ties with things, right.
Right. So, it'll be... We don't know nearly enough about this right now. They're just starting to dig in. I think this investigation will be an extended period of time. We are talking about years before, you know, Mueller and his team are done. If they're allowed to
right,
do so.
Right, right. If they reach that point.
You know, if Trump doesn't figure out a way to say, all right, screw it, you're fired. You know, Trump doesn't fire him and he's allowed to continue his investigation and max it out. This could go to the end of Trump's first term.
Yeah, it may easily.
Maybe the determining factor of whether Trump gets reelected or not. You know, I mean, if everything seems to be going Trump's way, and then, you know, Mueller gets done and says, by the way,
wah, wah, wah.
You know, I mean, like, I've got money here from this group and this faction and this and that, and there's no reasonable explanation other than criminal activity to explain it, that's the end of Trump, right?
It, yes.
Now,
it
the
is.
Chance of that happening, in my opinion, are slim to none. I really think that all this posturing from Trump is just to hide the all fact right. that he's not as rich as he says he is.
All right. So, you know, I want to talk about OJ because OJ's been in the news. I think we should shut this down and move on and do a follow-up show.
Holy shit. This is you at your best with horrible transitions.
Well, actually, I want to do an even worse transition because I also want to throw some love out to John McCain. So John McCain was diagnosed with brain cancer, and I actually admire John McCain. I don't agree with him on a lot of political things, but I admire him for his courage as a veteran. I admire him for the 2008 campaign when a woman said, I don't trust Obama because he's an Arab. And McCain was way too decent to let that fly and said, no, ma'am, you're wrong. And I think that hurt him with his base. I think he lost votes because he wouldn't play a card that was wrong. I think he has...
McCain lost because of Palin. Come on.
Well,
I get what you're saying. Now, listen. No, I agree with you on everything that you're saying in terms of John McCain. His service to the country.
What he went through as a POW.
What he went through as a POW. You know, which, by the way, our president said he didn't like the guys who got captured. He liked people who don't get captured. That's what your president said.
Your president said that, yes.
That's what our president said about John McCain. So... I fully support your sentiment. You know, he got diagnosed with a brain tumor that's pretty serious. He obviously is downplaying it and saying, listen, I'm going to fight it like I fight everything else, and I'm going to beat it. I hope that he does. That may explain some of the different instances we've seen over the last couple months.
Yeah, he's had some bad moments.
You know, the moment in the Comey interrogation, and you know, Comey, to his credit, was very gracious and
respectful,
tried to respect him. I fully agree with you. You're 100% on point there, and you know, best wishes to him and his family.
Agreed.
From Stephen Jim.
Yeah, Stephen Jim. I'm sure from Whiskey Congress.
I'm sure he is ecstatic to get that from us because of our relationship.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I mean, he is a man that I do genuinely respect, admire, and while I don't agree with some of his politics and his choice of vice presidential candidates cost him a chance to be president, but you know, take care of yourself, John McCain and McCain family, and we wish you the best. And I really hope you are back on the Senate as soon as possible and keep going. You know, his mom is still alive. His mom's like 105 or something. So wow. Let's not count this guy out. And then let's wrap this up. I can't wait to talk OJ. OJ coming next.
Okay, stop, stop. Just
no,
stop.
I can't. OJ. I can't.
Damn it.
All right.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.